Odyssey celebrates Thanksgiving, brought to you by T-Mobile, America's best mobile network in the U.S., according to Ookla speed test.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
And Ohio State is going to walk out of Atlanta national champions.
It's time for College Football Game Time. Tune in or listen on the Odyssey app.
As John Fricke, Chris Goforth, Abe Gordon, and Garrett Chapman
bring you the latest on the world of college football.
College Football Game Time, presented by Window Nation and WindowNation.com, is on. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Now, here's John, Chris, Abe, and Garrett.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game's College Football Game Time. Chris Goforth, Garrett Chapman. We kick off your college football Saturday morning. We take you up till 10 o'clock, then we turn it over to Abe Gordon, John Freaky Geisel. This morning, they'll take you up till 11:30 because we got a little bit of live college football coming up here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game at 11:30. It's Louisville and SMU later tonight. After the Hawks, you can hear BYU in Cincinnati. So we got you covered with the college football today, and we got some big stories to go ahead and hop into this morning. So let's go ahead and get it going. Garrett, I'm going to try to slow the coaching carousel down long enough so you can jump on and we can talk about it, because this bad boy keeps spinning.
Yeah, good luck with that. I don't know if anybody is able to do that at this point. This whole thing is absolutely nuts, Chris.
So James Franklin is headed to Virginia Tech. I don't want to say we told you so, but I think if you go back to when he was fired at Penn State and the Virginia Tech job came open, you and I had a discussion about that here on College Football Game Time about, well, it just makes sense. Yeah. James Franklin to Virginia Tech, it just feels right. And Garrett, I don't know how many schools in this coaching cycle, because there's a bunch of them now, are going to actually improve themselves. How many are going to actually go get a better coach? Now, of course, they're all going to say they did. They're all going to claim that they made the greatest hire in the history of the sport. But history will also tell us that is not so. But Virginia Tech got an upgrade.
Yeah, no, I think that's one that you can definitively say got better, right?
Yeah.
I don't think that, I mean, Florida might be able to say that depending on who they end up getting. Like if Lane Kiffin goes down to Florida, which theoretically is still possible, that's what they say. According to On3, I mean, he just got offered $90 million to go coach at LSU. But that, outside of that, I mean, is Brian Kelly a worse coach than Lane Kiffin? I'd say they're pretty much on par. Maybe culture setters, it's a little bit different. But as far as winning goes, I mean, Brian Kelly has got a lot more wins than he does. I mean, Brent Pry is not exactly Coach Franklin is a massive upgrade over Brent Pry. But it's like, outside of that, I mean, you're kind of on a good track there, Chris. I mean, Auburn, we'll see what happens with that. John Summerall is who I expect it's going to be. But, I mean, he's an unknown. You assume he's going to be better. But people thought the same thing about what Florida was going to be. Right? That didn't end up being the case, man. It's very often that you see coaches that just don't work out when they go to these next programs. They take that next level up and just doesn't work out. So nobody really knows. Nobody really knows.
No, and look, I think Franklin is a guy that can come in. He can make a difference. Can he make them a national title contender. I'm not ready to go that far, will it? But I think one of the things James Franklin can do is he can make Virginia Tech relevant again in the national conversation. Yeah. And that's something that Tech hasn't had in a long time. He's getting 5 years, $41.75 million.
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money. You mentioned Lane Kiffin there. According to ESPN in a report this morning, you can go read it on ESPN.com, Kiffin is going to make his decision the day after the Egg Bowl. And here's what we know. The family, including his ex-wife, Layla, that, you know, I think the one thing about Lane Kiffin is even after the divorce, they have remained very much committed to raising their children. It's not like, you know, she's living on one coast and he's coaching football on the other coast. I mean, they have tried to make decisions, I think it seems, what's in the best interest for their children. That being said, Layla Kiffin, her father played quarterback at Florida. Mm-hmm. She took the kids and went to Gainesville and took a tour. Not that she doesn't know the area well already. She went down, took a tour, mm-hmm. took the kids. They also went to Baton Rouge, took a tour of LSU, got a tour of Baton Rouge. So the family has gone and looked at both. The AD at Ole Miss says that he is going to make his decision the day after the Egg Bowl. And reports are that Ole Miss has offered an extension and a raise to Lane Kiffin. That is not saying that it's exact, but it is in the ballpark of what Florida and LSU is offering. It feels like, Garrett, this week, because I don't know where you were on this, but to me, it felt like Lane Kiffin to Florida was very much a thing.
Yeah.
Up until this week. This week, I don't know, maybe it's the $90 million. That can have an effect on it. But it feels now like maybe LSU has become the front runner for Lane Kiffin.
Yeah, that kind of feels where we are. It feels like where we are right now. I was kind of the thinking that this was Florida's to lose for a little while. And then all of it changed when Brian Kelly was fired, and then they just sort of ramped up the pressure there in Baton Rouge. And look, I just got a report here from Pete Nakos. Florida, LSU, and Ole Miss are all prepared to offer at least $25 million in NIL Ooh. Roster investment for Lane Kiffin. Ooh. This is getting nuts. Jimmy Sexton is in just, it's a masterclass. This performance is stunning, what he's been able to do. And then you add in a lot of these other, I don't know, I wonder, what's plan B for these teams? I wonder what plan B is. I mean, is it Eli Drinkwitz, or is he going to get lost and head up to Penn State? Is he going to come down to Florida? I mean, there are lots and lots of options here. But I just want to tell you this, Chris. It's a little frustrating to be talking about a coaching carousel like this, about several teams who are, well, one team in particular, Ole Miss, who is a lock for the playoff at this point. A lock for the playoffs. You spend months and months preparing to put your team in position to go compete for a national championship. Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss have done that. They have checked just about every single box that it takes to get to a college football playoff. And we're talking about the head coach leaving in the middle of the season.
Yeah.
The regular season's not done yet. And we've been talking about Lane Kiffin leaving, and he's entertained that idea for a month at least. I mean, this is ridiculous. When you talk about the commitment that a coach has to his program, he's no different, man. He just produces this four-part documentary about how he's a changed man, and then proceeds to play tag with these other programs for a month. I mean,
yeah.
It's crazy what he's doing right now. And You can miss me with all of these players and them having commitment to the organization, to the program, who's giving them a college education. You can miss me with all of that. This calendar has just gotten so out of control because he has to do what he's doing right now. He has to. Because if you want to go win the next program at the next program, you got to do it now because you have to put together your recruiting class.
Look, it's easy, and I guess it depends on which side of the coin you're on or where your fandom may lay. But I think it's real easy to kind of point a finger at Lane Kiffin over all of this. But his actions are set by the college football calendar because you've got to be in position – not so much from a recruiting standpoint, you've got to be in position from a transfer portal standpoint to be able to go get the guys that you need. And there's no easy way to do this based upon when we, unless we're going to start the college football season in July and wrap it up the first week in December, there's no other way around this. You can't move that transfer portal too late, okay, because guys, coaches want those kids on campus in time for spring practice. Well, most universities have a, you know, some sort of January enrollment date. So if you're going to transfer in, we need you enrolled and on campus by, you know, the second week of January or you know, whatever the date is. It's different, you know, depending on the school. But that's the main thing, and that's the reason why December and the 1st of January are such chaos in college football.
Well, it's because we're still pretending that these are student athletes. These are guys who are underclassmen. I mean,
there you go.
I mean, come on. This is where we are in the sport now, and these guys are ambassadors for the universities more so than they are actual students in large cases. And I think we've missed the plot on a lot of this. I mean, they're students, but at the same time, it's like, oh, this is where we are now. This is where we are. I mean, what is it? Who is it that said, I didn't come here to play school? I mean, that's kind of what it is. This is kind of where we are.
I love that.
I mean, this is the state of college football and college athletics. It's not just football, but it's largely football.
Yeah.
I mean, you want to see some drunk transfer portal stuff, go look at baseball. That is nuts. But, Chris, do you know what comes up in 2 weeks? No,
what?
I'm not talking about the SEC championship, ACC
what?
Championship.
What? Tell me.
Early signing day is in two weeks. It's in 2 weeks. It's insane. That's why Lane Kiffin has to make this decision. And mind you, we talked about James Franklin. That was what we led the segment off with. He's got 4-star players on campus this week, by the way. He's got them sitting there. He's got several official visitors who are Penn State commits who are now coming and following him over there.
Hey, if you believe what's out there, he was recruiting for Virginia Tech long before they actually got the deal done and he was announced.
Oh, yeah. No, he knows what he's doing. I mean he's been recruiting for a while. I mean, you have to imagine he has been. And it's just that it became official recently. You know, I mean, this whole thing is just crazy. And mind you, we're talking about Lane Kiffin and some of these programs getting ahead of schedule on some of these things. Well, what happens to the coaches or the programs who lose their coach in a week, in 2 weeks? What happens then?
Well, you go into scramble mode.
No, not scramble, panic.
Well,
because
you now
have to go figure out who's going to be coaching your team next year on top of that new guy having to come in with a couple of weeks to put his roster together for next year. Because what happens to the kids who commit and sign with a program in the early signing period? What happens to the guys whose coach leaves them? I mean, this is insanity what's going on in college football right now. And at this moment, we have people in the Big Ten Conference who are talking about college football playoff expansion when this is going on in the sport right now. It just tells me exactly where their head is. They don't care about college football. They care about the dollars and cents
that they
can put into their pockets.
This is
extremely frustrating to me because this sport is so beautiful and they're just I don't know if I can say that word on radio. They're doing bad things to it. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah. Yeah. Quickly. New contract.
Brent Key. He's not. He is not. Not in this this race right now. From what I've been told, he is a major backup option for a lot of these programs.
New contract for Mike Elko at Texas A&M. Trev Alberts, his athletic director, gets a new contract as well. Baylor announced this week that Dave Aranda will return for next year.
What about Jim Mora Jr.? Keep an eye on him. UConn's actually winning some football games. Now they've lost to Rice, but we'll see.
We will get to our national game of the week. That's Southern Cal and Oregon. We're going to talk about that. We will get to the college football playoff poll. We will talk about it at some point in time. Ohio State, Indiana, Texas A&M, Georgia, Texas Tech. That's still your top five. We'll get to that coming up a little bit later on this morning. Let's get into it. We'll talk some ball when we come back. Chris Goforth, Garrett Chapman hanging out with you. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Odyssey celebrates Thanksgiving. Brought to you by T-Mobile, America's best mobile network in the U.S. according to Ookla speed test.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Big deal brands are on sale right now at Designer Shoe Warehouse. Save up to 25% on select styles from the brands on everyone's list, like Nike, Adidas, New Balance, Crocs, Reebok, and more. Because the only thing we love more than dropping a name is dropping a price. You don't want to miss this one. These brands are almost never on sale. So shop the DSW Holiday Name Drop Sale today at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Breaking down the world of college football with College Football Game Time.
You can't never get enough today.
College Football Game Time, presented by Window Nation at windownation.com.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Goforth, Garrett Chapman. We'll get to our national game of the week. Southern Cal and Oregon coming up here in just a second. One other note that I did want to mention, Garrett, kind of a big picture thing. Not really involving play on the field, but certainly impacting it. And I don't know if you saw this this week, but Diego Pavia, the Vanderbilt quarterback, remember, he sued the NCAA last year and won to get his extra year of eligibility. Diego Pavia has now filed what is a class action lawsuit against the NCAA, basically saying that your time spent at a junior college should not count towards your NCAA eligibility. So, in other words, you can go do 2 years at a junior college. You would still have 5 years to play for once you went to that four-year university.
That feels weird to me. I don't – the thing is, and they're going to win because – I mean, the NCAA has no legs to stand on, and you can just sue them for whatever at this point. But that just feels really dirty to me. I don't know. What do you think?
I don't have a problem with it.
Eh.
I don't have a problem with it.
And the thing is, it's like I don't want these guys to lose out on chances to make money, because some of these guys, I mean, this is their only opportunity to make money. So I'm not trying to take money out of anybody's pocket necessarily when I say this, but it just feels weird in that sense. I don't know, man. Great. I guess power to them. If they win, great. We'll let the courts decide. But I mean, it just feels strange. I mean, like, there's some guys who, I mean, maybe their grades weren't in the right place. Maybe their body wasn't as developed as some of these other guys, and then it does later on, and then they're able to take advantage of it. I can't imagine that there are a ton of guys who were going to be able to take advantage of this necessarily, but if you are and it proves to be like a Diego Pavia type player, then great, power to you.
Yeah, there's a handful of guys at least right now. I don't know all the names, but there are some names that have jumped on as a part of this class action lawsuit. Joey Aguilar, the quarterback at Tennessee, being one of those guys. The NCAA and the power conferences, they're lobbying Congress to pass a bill that would give NCAA antitrust protections to set its own eligibility rules. That would stop all of the lawsuits. NCAA President Charlie Baker said that lawmakers see the challenges to NCAA eligibility rules as the most compelling reason to pass legislation. This, you can read this. Front Office Sports has been on top of this, and they've done a pretty good job of following this story a little bit. So you can go to Front Office Sports. You can find them on Twitter and online if you're X or whatever we call it now. And you can find them online if you want to go read the full story. But some pretty good reporting there on their part. So I just wanted to put that out there again, not directly about stuff happening on the field, but certainly things that can affect stuff on the field. As a matter of fact, before the Vanderbilt game last week in stadium, Vanderbilt ran a commercial asking fans to support the NCAA in this endeavor. Mm. Now, Clark Lee, Vandy's head coach, and their athletic director, Candace Story, have both come out and said they're going to take their players' side in this, and they have come out and spoke out in favor of what Diego Pavia is doing. So there you go. Let's get to our national game of the week. 15th ranked Southern Cal taking on number 7 Oregon, 3:30 today on CBS. A win by Oregon, Garrett, and you can take another step towards locking down that playoff spot. If you're USC, the Trojans win, the bubble doesn't pop yet, right? You win, and you're Southern Cal, you can at least stay on that playoff bubble heading into the UCLA game next week.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of those types of games. I almost see this as an elimination game because, I don't know, a 10-2, so assuming Oregon goes and beats Washington next week, if they lose this game and they finish 10-2, I don't know if that's enough to get them in, truthfully. I mean, they're sitting at number 7. They may not fall too far, but, I mean, look, if they drop to, like, an 11-12, I just have a hard time seeing them get in. There is no marquee win on this team's schedule, really. I mean, you might be able to say it's Iowa, but Iowa has also been trending in the wrong direction here recently, and that was an ugly game. I mean, look, USC beat them in a sloppy fashion, too, so it's happened. But, I mean, man, it's tough. I just don't know if they're going to have enough of a resume at 10-2 to push their way into a college football playoff. USC, I would see one of those teams who kind of pushes them out, you know, because then you would have the head-to-head over Oregon. On top of that, USC has a better resume. They would have a win over, I guess, Michigan would be their marquee win. They also have the same win over Iowa that you have. I mean, it's just a wonky type of situation when you look at futures. You know, but as far as today is concerned, I'm fascinated with what USC does in a road contest. This is not an offense that has traveled super well. I'm interested to see what it does in a wild environment up there at Alston Stadium. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch this game.
These two teams are so different in not just style of play, but tempo and how they want to play. For years, Oregon was that team that was, you know, line up, snap it, and go, mm-hmm. right? Now, Oregon, look, Oregon's averaging better than 6 yards a rush. They want to be able to run the football. They want to have these long drives. It is USC now that plays with a little more tempo. They want to go fast. They want to hit you for the big play. Oregon is more, I don't want to say 3 yards in a cloud of dust when you're averaging 6 yards a carry, but they want to kind of maybe grind on you a little bit, whereas USC would rather, you know, have that quick strike offense. Both teams score a ton of points. Mm-hmm. Oregon's averaging 39 a game. USC's averaging 38 a game. I want to see which one of these two can come out and dictate the pace of this game, dictate the style of this game. Again, Oregon runs it real well. USC is not good stopping the run.
No.
They have struggled this year in that category. If Oregon can kind of impose their will on the ground, control that clock, keep USC in that offense, the passing game for the Trojans has got some firepower to it. Keep those guys on the sidelines. I think it goes a long way towards Oregon being able to win today.
Yeah, and on the other side, though, I think Oregon really needs to stop this USC rushing attack, because if you let King Miller get going here, I mean, he's 719 yards on the season, but if he gets rolling here in this game, it really just unlocks everything that USC wants to do.
Yeah,
because you've got Mayava and you got Lemon, who I think has a very good shot of going out and getting a Biletnikoff potentially. He's at 1,000 yards. He's already over 1,000 yards, which is crazy. Statistically, it's just a nuts season here for him. But that offense, when they run the ball effectively, it just everything opens for them. And it's so beautiful the way that it happens. But if you slow them down, it seems like it kind of keeps a cap on the potential of what this offense can do. They struggled a little bit to run the ball. They have struggled at times to run the ball in road contests. And that's one against an Oregon front that's pretty good in this category. That is really my big hinge point here in this game. I love hinge points, and that's a big one here in this one. But if they're able to run the ball, everything seems like it's going to work out just a little bit better here. But I'm fascinated to see what happens with that.
We're going to go around the SEC here in a minute, and we'll talk about some of those SEC games, one in particular today that I will make a point of that seems to always come down to turnovers and big plays. But that's the way I feel about this game between USC and Oregon. Mm-hmm. This is about don't turn it over and find a couple of big plays. You know, I talk about Oregon trying to control the clock maybe and run the football. Look, in some ways, I think if you force Southern Cal into a must-pass situation, I think the Trojans may be okay with that today.
Yeah, I think it actually might work out pretty well. If they want to get to a shootout, hey, man, get your guns ready. Let's go. I think that would be a lot of fun. And look, this line has just continued to increase here on Oregon's side, and I'm confused why it's sitting at 10.5. That feels very large. Very big. I think it opened at 7.5. It jumped to 8.5, and now it's sitting at 10.5. That's big. That's really big. I mean, look, Oregon is favored. They should be favored, rightfully so. 10.5 feels very large. I think that this is a USC team who can absolutely go on the road and go get this done. But I'll ask you this, too. Has Oregon played its best game yet this season? Is that secondary as good as we think it is? Statistically, on paper says it's pretty good. Reality tells me that it really ain't played nobody, Paul. And the one game that it really did against a pretty solid passing attack, Indiana. And you saw what happened in this game. They get blasted for 30 points. I think me thinks that USC has better wide receivers than Indiana does. I don't know about you, Chris.
Yes.
They've got a Biletnikoff potential winner
on
the outside. Yes. You have an All-American wide receiver, Lemon. You have Fernando Mendoza is fantastic, but they hit you with those quick passes, and that's what they do. It's kind of an inflow of the offense. This is a USC offense that can punch that ball down the field if they need to.
To answer your initial question, I don't know. I mean, I think we were all impressed with Oregon going back to the, was it the Oklahoma State game early in the year? But I think we later figured out that, well, Oklahoma State is not very good.
Penn State on the road.
Yeah, the Penn State game was not one. So, no, to answer your question, I don't think we've seen the best of Oregon yet this year.
I think we got probably our sneak peek last week when they played Minnesota. You know, Dante Moore looks good. They run the ball pretty effectively. I mean, really, it's Dante Moore who was able to get it done in that game. But you pour on 42 points, and I mean, they came off like a buzzsaw. But does that carry over into this week? Because this is a USC defense. This isn't your USC defense from 2 years ago. That was just a Swiss cheese, you know? They can at least hold their own to some extent. And this is I'm still trying to decide who I'm going to take in this game. I think it can go one way or the other because I don't know who Oregon is yet. I think I know who USC is. Oregon is a completely different animal.
Oregon, USC, 3:30 today. Should be a fun one. And again, that game is at Autzen Stadium in Oregon. So the Ducks will be at home. Let's go around the SEC. We'll do that next. We'll touch on today's rundown around the Southeastern Conference. We'll do that as we continue on. It's Chris Goforth, Garrett Chapman hanging out with you. It's College Football Game Time right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Odyssey celebrates Thanksgiving, brought to you by T-Mobile, America's best mobile network in the U.S., according to Ookla speed test.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Black Friday? More like Black Friday, yay! Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads, and grow your business fast.
Breaking down the world of college football with College Football Game Time.
We can't never get enough today.
College Football Game Time, presented by Window Nation at windownation.com.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's College Football Game Time. Chris Goforth, Garrett Chapman. We take you up till 10 o'clock. John Freaky, Abe Gordon will follow. 11:30 today, we've got Louisville and SMU. And then later on tonight, after the Hawks, you can hear BYU and Cincinnati. It's all here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's time for us to go around the SEC. It's brought to you by Kroger. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Look. We will get into it today. This is that week in the SEC where you got the rivalry games coming up next week. So, Garrett, you got a lot of teams playing some cupcakes today. Not everybody, but we got some cupcakes on the schedule today.
I like a little sugar in my diet.
There you go.
Not, I mean,
there you go. Well, let me today may give you diabetes.
Tim, I just might. No, look, this is the week, the only week of the year where every other conference can be like, look, see, the SEC does. And it's just so, it's so annoying when you sit here and listen to the commentary from some of these other conferences. I mean, you have Ohio State going and winning the MAC championship at the beginning of the season. And they're like, oh, well, it's different when you played in November. I'm like, yeah, it's also different when you don't play a team with a winning record for over a month and a half.
Right.
You know, I mean, the thing is, it's like when you talk about the SEC getting this week in November and you're complaining about Alabama playing this kind of team or anybody else and Georgia playing Charlotte, they're climbing the Himalayas and then they have a slight plateau before they put the final climb up. And everybody's freaking out about that when they're climbing over, the mountains in Florida. I mean, it's a weird situation here. I cannot deal with it. It's when Ohio State's coming into a conference game and they're favored by 29 or 30 or 32 points or something like that. And then they go play another game. It's a road game and they're favored by 28 points. And that's their week. That's their week-to-week basis. It's just not the same in the SEC, and you're going to go away from it next year. You're going to go into a 9-game conference schedule, and we can be done with all of this commentary. But anybody and everybody who sits there and complains about the SEC when they carry college football in terms of viewership and everything else, all of the big games, I mean, they're like, oh, there are no games this week. Yeah, because the SEC has taken a week off. That's basically what's happening. And they still have one of the best games of the week, mind you.
Stanford at number 3, Texas A&M, that's noon on the SEC Network Plus. Samford, by the way, has one win this year. They fired their coach. This will get ugly early. Number 22, Missouri, at number 8, Oklahoma. Now, this is not a cupcake game. This is a pretty good one. That's the noon kickoff today on ABC. What does Missouri have in the passing game? They were able to run it a little bit against Mississippi State. I don't think that's going to happen today against this Oklahoma defense. You got to be able to throw it a little bit if they're going to be able to give Oklahoma some problems today.
Yeah, you have to. And is Bo Prabula going to play? I think that's trending towards yes. It's sort of where they are now. I think he's going to play. I don't know if there's been a more recent report from what I've heard. I don't think I've heard anything since yesterday. I just heard he got elevated from doubtful to questionable or whatever, and I don't put too much stock into injury reports at this point. I mean, Ahmad Hardy is a dog. I mean, that guy is a potential All-American, if not probably the front runner to be an All-American. I wonder what he's able to do against this front because this is an Oklahoma defense who, I mean, they've allowed 150 yards in a game zero times. Zero times. It doesn't happen against this defense, and that's all that Missouri really wants to do. And Bo Prabula is a good player, and I think he's going to open up a little bit more of their offense. They actually, if he's able to play and he's able to be, you know, consistent and healthy in this game, and he's able to throw the ball effectively, then maybe you're able to do something else with this offense. But ultimately, Missouri's bread and butter is on the ground, and it's strength versus strength, and that is the compelling moment, compelling part of this game here, Chris.
Bo Prabula is expected to play today.
Okay.
He is expected to play today. Now, Missouri will be without their kicker today.
Well,
Blake Craig will not be a go. So, a little update for you on that one. Georgia, Charlotte today.
Real quick, is this a letdown spot for Oklahoma?
Could be. I think that's what you got to guard against.
Yeah. I mean, you have a massive win against Alabama. You have the massive win against Tennessee. All of a sudden, they were like, oh, here we go. This is a team who's in. They're there. Well, not so fast, my friend.
Yeah.
You got LSU next week, and that's not a game that I think they might be sleepwalking by that point. But this is one of those games. If you're going to talk about a game who can jump up and bite you, Missouri could absolutely go get that done.
Charlotte at Georgia today. That's 12:45 on the SEC Network. I don't know if there's a whole lot we need to talk about there. Eastern Illinois at number 10, Alabama. That's 2 o'clock on the SEC Network. Plus, how mad is Alabama going to be today?
Mm-mm-mm.
They need to play mad. Now, I'll tell you this much. Just when you thought Kalen DeBoer was safe, right? Just when you thought Caleb DeBoer, hey, Alabama fans, they're going to warm up to this guy now. and then you have last week.
No chance. I think that they are. There is a loud, vocal minority that's always going to exist at a big program like this, and that's kind of what you find with Kalen DeBoer.
I'll tell you what, you
got the fighting Jimmy Garoppolo's here, so we'll see what they can do with that. But anybody who says that they want to fire Kalen DeBoer, I challenge them to find somebody who's going to be an upgrade over Kalen DeBoer.
Listen, if they lose to Auburn next week, they will be buying the plane ticket and renting the moving trucks to get Kalen DeBoer to Penn State.
I've heard that's actually been recent. Like that, there's seemingly some traction for that, just based off of Twitter and things I've seen from people. And I don't know. I don't buy it yet. That's not a stock that I'm willing to buy. But if what you say comes to pass, and look, Alabama is going to do some terrible things to Eastern Illinois today, and then, but let me tell you what, Jordan Hare is a place where dreams go to die. That's where nightmares are born. And man, oh man, if in Alabama, that's exactly what Auburn wants. They want a wounded animal in Alabama who, you know, they can absolutely stab a little knife into their playoff hopes and pop that bubble. I think that Auburn would love that more than anything else. And I do think that you're going to have a head coach announced by that time, so maybe there's a little bit of juice in that program. I just think that game next week is going to be so much fun. And it's fun outside of all of these other factors. That game, for all of these factors pushed in, I mean, you talk about the Egg Bowl, too. That's another one of those that might be kind of like that. This is going to be crazy. And Alabama's in a weird spot.
Mercer, Auburn today at 2 on the SEC Network. Mercer, by the way, they have won the Southern Conference. They're headed to the FCS playoffs. Ew. We have not had a lot of FCS teams knocking off bowl subdivision teams this year, but I would advise Auburn not to overlook the Mercer Bears in anticipation of the Iron Bowl next week.
Yeah. No, I don't think that's going to happen. But, I mean, look, Ashton Daniels isn't playing in this game. Healthy scratch, preserving his red shirt. Deuce Knight is getting his first start. That's going to be a lot of fun. That's a reason to just keep an eye on the game. I know it's an FCS opponent and everything else, but if anybody's like an SEC person, Deuce Knight is the next big guy who is going to be taking over the hype train all spring long. There's a good chance that that happens. So if you want to get your first look at what this guy could look like next year, this is your opportunity.
Kentucky at number 14, Vanderbilt today, 3:30 on ESPN. Don't look now, but the Mildcats have won three straight.
Mildcats.
Vandy coming off a bye week. Look, if I'm Clark Lee and that college football playoff poll came out this week, I'm using that as motivation. I think Vanderbilt's good when they play with a chip on their shoulder.
Yeah.
And if I'm Clark Lee, I'm putting that the disrespect that we were showed by the College Football Playoff Committee, I am playing that card big time this week, and I'm sending my guys out there with a massive chip on their shoulder because they are disrespecting us. They don't think we're any good. Let's go prove them wrong today against Kentucky. Let's go prove them wrong next week against Tennessee.
Yeah. No, I love it. And look, is 10-2 Vanderbilt good enough? Is that resume good enough to get them into a college football playoff, or do they still need help?
Man,
we'll go deeper. Think about it.
Okay. On the surface, gut reaction, okay, if you tell me there is a two-loss SEC team,
No, I'm telling you, a two-loss Vanderbilt team.
Well, you tell me there's a two-loss team in the SEC, I'm going to tell you I think that team should be in.
Okay. I tend to agree. No, look, I agree. And look, and I'm not trying to throw shade at Vanderbilt when I say that. It's just that there's a mental sort of hurdle that you have to clear if you're Vanderbilt because you have been a doormat for 100 years. And look, you have great years, and that's great. But, you know, I mean, it's a hurdle that they're going to have to get over with the committee. There's a reason they're sitting where they are, and some of the other programs in the SEC are sitting where they are, right? It's something that they have to clear. They have to do it more impressively, and this is where I'm going with this. They have to get a big win today. And I mean, you have to get style points. They're in the same kind of boat that Miami finds themselves in. They have to go get some style points if they want to attract some attention from the committee. And I hate that I have to say that, but that's just kind of where they are. It's Vanderbilt, you know? It's one of the it's one of the realities that they have to play with, or play against, I should say.
Arkansas at 17th-ranked Texas. That's at 3:30 today on ABC. I'll say this about Arkansas. Despite everything that has gone on there, they're not going to lay down for anybody.
Hey, now.
They may not win, but I don't think the Razorbacks are going to go play dead.
No. No, no, no. This is a watch-out game. This is one of those trap games for Texas. This is a trap game, and this is one that everybody should keep their eyes on. I think that Bobby Petrino, he still needs that marquee win. He doesn't have it yet. He's made Arkansas pretty competitive. They've looked good, and that offense is fun. He doesn't have that marquee win yet. Not yet. He might still get it, and he has a good opportunity here in this one. It's a road trip to Texas. I wonder if there's a bit of a hangover spot from what happened last week. I wonder what kind of Texas shows up when you also have another marquee matchup coming up next week with Texas A&M. Ah, it just sets itself up so nicely, especially when you look at this Texas defense. The secondary can get got. That secondary can get hit over the top. And do you know what Taylen Green and Bobby Petrino and that offense really like to do? Ooh, doggy, they like to throw that ball all over the yard. They will throw that ball, and it's going to be pretty fun. And I think that they have an opportunity to maybe jump into Austin and really upset some people.
Coastal Carolina at South Carolina today. That's a miserable drive, by the way, from Myrtle Beach to Columbia.
I've done it 4:15.
Yeah, it's any drive into Columbia is miserable, but that one leaving Myrtle Beach going to Columbia is awful. 4:15 on the SEC Network. Here's the only question about this game. Is Lenoris Sellers going to transfer? Because that's the rumor right now.
I mean, is he going to go to the draft?
Yeah, see, what I keep reading is the transfer portal.
Yeah, I think that there's a good shot of that. And if you lose him, what a disappointing season they've had. What a disappointing year. I mean, it's just not a great spot for them. But if you lose Lenoris Sellers and the season goes awry in the way that it has, it's just a nightmare scenario here for them.
Tennessee and Florida at 7:30 on ABC. This was at one point in time the game of the year in the SEC. It was Spurrier versus Fulmer. And Tennessee, though, has lost 10 straight in Gainesville. If they can protect Joey Aguilar, they can have some success on offense. It's hard to win in the SEC on the road. I think it's more difficult to win on the road in the SEC at night. You're taking on a Florida team that I think we all left, you know, thought the Gators were left for dead when Billy Napier was fired, but they gave Ole Miss and Georgia both problems. And I think Florida's going to have something for Tennessee tonight. We talked about a moment ago in that USC-Oregon game about turnovers being a factor. You go back, historically speaking, for the last 35 years of Tennessee and Florida, this game has always come down to turnovers. Look, run the football, don't turn it over. You do those things, that's how you win in this series, historically speaking.
Yeah, and you say road games at night, that's something that you got to keep in mind in this one. And Abe hates this stat, and I see him over there. They haven't won this game since the Bush administration. I understand people, a game in Gainesville, I should say, Tennessee. I know that those are past teams and all of that doesn't matter necessarily today, but there's a mental hurdle that these guys have to get over when it's been more than 20 years since you've won a game that you play every other year.
How much of that, though, honestly, how much of that do you really think that factors into a locker room in this transient age of college football when – number one, half of those guys, I'd say two-thirds of those guys probably in that Tennessee locker room did not grow up Tennessee fans.
Well, a good portion of those not guys know weren't that. Alive, Chris, when the last time
well,
that they did that.
Fair enough, but I don't know how much that factors in. At one point in time, sure. I think when you had a bunch of kids that grew up in the state and were a fan of a state school and you're playing there, yes, I think you feel that. I think for these guys now that are a little more, you know, man, I'm here for a paycheck. I don't know how much that matters anymore.
Maybe not. I think there is still something to be said about it, but we'll see. I think it's going to be an interesting game to keep an eye on.
Western Kentucky at LSU. That's at 7:45 on the SEC Network. We have lots more to get to here on College Football Game Time, including number 16 Georgia Tech. They're at home today, taking on the Pitt Panthers. We'll get to that. Can Pitt contain Haynes King today? We'll talk about Georgia Tech and Pitt when we return. Chris Goforth, Garrett Chapman, heading into our second and final hour today of College Football Game Time. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Odyssey celebrates Thanksgiving, brought to you by T-Mobile, America's best mobile network in the U.S., according to Ookla speed test.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads, and grow your business fast.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.